Today's Shi'ur Masechta Sukkah Daf Tezayin. We will begin on Daf Tezvav Amud Beis, the bottom line, Hecha Itmar. In our previous Shi'ur, the Gemara wanted to prove from our Mishnah that something that was once a Keli, and since once it was a Keli, while it's a Keli, of course, it may not be used for Schach, because a Keli is something that's Mekabel Tumah. But in our previous Shi'ur, we learned that something was which was once a Keli, and then Rav Ami Bar Tavumi wanted to suggest that if it loses its status of being a Keli, it remains non-usable for Schach. And the reason the Gemara wanted to prove it from our Mishnah was because our Mishnah spoke about a Rucha Samita, the legs of a bed. Now, the legs of a bed, after they're disconnected from the bed, are not really legs of bed. And yet the Mishnah said they may not be used for a schach. Isn't that clearly a proof that once it becomes disqualified as a keli, part of a bed, it remains so? So the Gemara said it's not necessarily a proof, because we have the halacha that Rav Chanan Amar Rebbe taught us. Rav Chanan Amar Rebbe says that's talking about a case where the legs are still connected to the different parts, the head of the bed, either it's a wider beam or a narrow beam, and therefore it's still considered a keli. And the Gemara said that just like Rav Chanan said that in a different case, that will be the way we will explain our Mishnah. So the Gemara begins with Hecha Itmar Rav Chanan Aben Rebbe. Ask the Gemara, where did we exactly learn Rav Chanan Aben Rebbe's explanation? It says, Ahad Tanan. The Mishnah says in Masechta Kehilim, Perek Yutches Mishnah Tes, Mita Metamas Chavila, a bed is Mekabel Tuma when it's whole, and Metaeres Chavila, if it got broken. So we know that anything that becomes broken is no longer susceptible to tumah. But if you want to take the parts of the bed and put them into the mikveh while they're disconnected, says Rabbi Elazar that that would not be in a good that would not be a way to be metar the bed. Just like it only becomes tumay when it's whole, so too it becomes tar only when it's whole. Moreover, why is a bed mekabel tuma? So as we've discussed, a zava, a nido, or yoledes have a unique tuma. A unique tuma called tuma smedris. Anything they sit on or lay on becomes tumay. In fact, a very high level of tuma. It becomes tummy with ava tuma. And a bed is obviously something meant to lay on. And in fact, the Rishonim say that since the bed is able to become Tamei Tumas Medris, as we just explained, so it also is able to become Tumas Mes. And that's why Rebbe Elazar says that certainly while it's broken, it's not Mekabel Tuma, but you can't make it Tahor when it's broken. You have to wait till you reassemble it and then bring it to the mikveh. The Chamayrim, Metamas, even when it's broken, it can be mekabel tuma. And on the other hand, metareres avarim, and when it's broken, it could be brought to the mikveh and put into the mikveh, and it will be tahar. Ask the Gemara, mal chel mind you. On that, the Gemara asks, what the Rabbanim meant that parts of the bed are broken and they still can be mekabel tuma? Says the Gemara, Am Rav Chanan, Am Rabbi, Arucha Shtei Kroim. Either you have a long beam and has two legs attached to it, Uktsara, or you have a short beam and Shnei Kroim, and you have the two legs attached to it. Ask the Gemara, but in order for something to be Mekabel Tuma, it has to be usable. So ask the Gemara, Lamai Chazya, what could you use this part of the bed that isn't a complete bed, that it should still be considered a keli and be royal kabel tuma? Answers the Gemara, lematuni aguda, it could be used that you push that bed next to the wall, you'll put the two legs and that cross beam parallel to you, to your wall, and then you'll be able to have, by adding two more beams, a bed, even though you don't have a full bed, or you could put strings and make a mattress, a temporary mattress attached to those beams, and that's why it'll be considered a usable
as a bed. So according to this, the Chachamim say that it's mekabel tumah, and it could be metarit that way, is because it's still usable as a bed. And that's how Rav Chanan will explain is what our Mishnah says when the Ruch Samita may be able to be used, that may be used for, can't be used for schach, because as we just learned, they have the ability to be a keli. And anything that has to be a kelim, the halach is, you have to, it can't be used for schach. And therefore, say the Rishonim, that according to the Chachamim, what would be the opinion of the Chachamim when they're totally not usable? So most Rishonim are of the opinion that the Rabbanim will agree that it has to be usable to become Tamei, and it has to be usable to become Tohor. And you can't be Metarit when it's not usable. Gufa, says the Gemara, but we did begin today's shir by quoting the opinion of Rav Ami Bar Tuvia, you started with a keli, and now, or here it's the, or here it's a beged, psula, and even though now it's not really a beged or a keli anymore, it remains posla schach. My baloi kelim, and the Gemara explains what did he mean. Om Rabbi Matlonius Shembam Sholosh Asholosh. We know that a piece of material is only mekabel tumah when it is three etzbos by three etzbos. So says the Gemara, when you have such a small piece of material that isn't even three etzbos by three etzbos, loichazian loyla neim veloyla shirim, it's not usable. No one, even poor people that used to use small pieces of material for their patches or for other purposes, here the Mishnah teaches us, here the Gemara teaches us that this is considered totally non-usable, and since it's not considered non-usable for anybody, it's not considered a keli. But Rav Ami Bar Tavyumi is telling us that since it was meant for that purpose, it started with that purpose, then it can no longer be used for schach. Says the Gemara, Tanya. However, say the Rishonim, that even though they're not usable, what's going to be the halacha if somebody decided to use it? In other words, the Gemara just said that typically no one will use such a small piece of material. But what would be the halacha if somebody decided to use such a small piece of material? Will it be makabel tumah or not? So it's actually machloikas taisus in two different mesechtas. In our Gemara, taisus says that even if somebody decided to use such a small piece of material, it would not be makabel tumah, but ladat leitzukol adam. This person's attention is considered meaningless. However, Tosfos in Masechet Nida says that if somebody specifically had a mind to use this piece of material, although it's such a small piece of material, it would be makabel tumah. Says the Maratani Kavosei, the Rav Ami Bar Tavyumi, the Braisa said that, Machzelo shel shifa, if you have a mat that's made out of a type of grass, shalgemi, and it's made shalgemi, or you have a mat that's made out of reeds, v'shira, even though at the beginning we started with a mat that's makabel tumah, it's the proper size, and now you have the remnants of that mat, the halach is emsach b'hem, because since at the beginning it was disqualified for schach, that disqualification remains. Mechtzel sakanim, but now the Gemara, briefly, this will really be a sugya that we're going to discuss in Mitzvah Shem on Daf Yotes and Daf Chof in Mitzvah Shem, speaks for a moment about the question of schach made out of this type of a mat. Gedoyla, if it's large enough that's used specifically for schach, nobody uses such a large mat for sleeping on, so then you may use it for schach. However, if it's ketana, if it's small, and therefore it's meant to be used for sleeping purposes, so it's a keli. And if it's a keli, ein masachim bo. Rabbi Elazar omer af hi, even a large mat may not be used, because we may not use it, because people sometimes will either sleep on a large mat or take that large mat and make it into a small mat. And what the Mishnah is teaching us is that a mechtzel sakanim, is used typically for sleeping on it, and since it's used typically for sleeping on it, that's why it may not be used for schach. We learned in our Mishnah the din of achoytet begodesh. Achoytet begodesh, the Mishnah taught us, was that if somebody had a haystack and he hollows out the inside of the haystack, the halach is that it's not a kosher sukkah. And as we explained when we learned the Mishnah, we explained in the previous year, the reason is that tasa v'loy mina asui. The halach is when you make a sukkah, tasa, you have to make it with the walls and the tzchach put on for the sake of being a covering over this area, not v'loy mina asui, that you're hollowing out the inside, and now you end up with a sukkah. And it's very interesting that I saw the Mefarshim point out that this disqualification of Tasei V'loi Min Asui is mentioned in a number of places throughout Shas as a disqualification. Why was the Torah so concerned about disqualification of Tasei V'loi Min Asui? So I saw that many Mefarshim suggest the Chazal teaches that a person is supposed to say, Masai Yagiya Masai, Lamasai Avram, Avram Yitzvah Yaakov. Everybody's supposed to strive that he should be similar to Avos HaKadoshim, to Avram Yitzvah Yaakov. What do we find by Avram Yitzvah Yaakov? We find that even though the Avos were such great people, and the Avos were fathers and sons, every one of them had their own path, their own style, their own derech, and Avodas Hashem. Avram Avinu, we know, represents Midas HaChesed. Yitzchak Avinu represents Midas HaDin, Midas Gvura. Yaakov Avinu represents Midas Tferis. What does that mean? Tasa, that every one of us has to do by ourselves. V'loy mana osui, just to imitate what was done previously, that's not what the Torah wants from us. Tasa, the Torah wants us to do on our own, forge our own path, not just imitate what we saw previously. And in fact, I saw, that's why the Yit of Panim explains what it says in Pirkei Avos, Perek Beis Mishnah Yud Beis. It says there in Pirkei Avos, Haskin Atzmecha Lul Metayra, She'eni Yerushalach. A person Haskin Atzmecha Lul Metayra. A person has to forge a way in learning Torah. But any Yerushalach, he shouldn't just say that this is what this is the way my forefather learned, this is the way my Rebbe learned, and I have to learn on that same style. You have to learn in a way that you will grow in your learning. Because the Tana in that Mishnah continues, V'kol ma'asecha ye'eh l'shem shemayim. What the Torah wants from us, what Chazal wants from us, the kol ma'asecha, you should examine your actions, and look at your actions, and decide, are they l'shem shemayim? And then that's the derech you should follow. If they're not l'shem shemayim, then that's not the derech you should follow. So says the Mishnah, hachoyte begodesh, that if you hollow out the haystack, it wouldn't be a kosher sukkah. There's a disqualification of tasev loy menasui. On that comments Rav Huna, loy shonel she'ein shem chalal tefach b'meshach shiva. That the sukkah, that the hollow space, that there is no hollow space in there already, with the dimension of a height of a tefach and a width of 7 tefachim. Aval yesham chalal tefach b'meshach shiva. If you already have that hollow space from before, so you already have a minimal sukkah, and since you already have a minimal sukkah, harezuk sheira, because even though it's not a kosher sukkah, and the reason it's not a kosher sukkah is because it's only a tefach high. And we began our mesechta by learning that a sukkah must be minimally 10 tefachim high. But since when you have that type of a oil, when you have that type of a area inside, so then the schach, on top of it, the straw, which is kosher schach, obviously, on top of it was meant l'shem tzeil. It was meant to cover the inside area. And therefore it's considered kosher sukkah. The walls aren't high enough. Of course, as we're about to discuss, the halacha is you have to raise that, and you're going to have to dig out to get to the proper height. But since the walls of the sukkah are not
what determine what the sukkah is, as we've discussed numerous times from the beginning of Masechta, that what is the main point of the sukkah? The sukkah is the schach, and here, as we just explained, the schach is proper schach. So since the schach is proper schach, yes, there's a halacha, you have to have the right height walls. And you'll make that by digging higher, but you won't have a situation of tassav alem and asui where the schach wasn't done properly. So there's a very big machloikus rishonim. We just discussed that you have to, of course, if it's only a tefachai, even though you wouldn't have a problem of tassav alem and asui, that you have to recreate everything, you're going to have to dig out an area up to 10 tefachim. So now a question that rishonim debate is, when you do that digging, can you dig from the inside up, or can you only dig from the top, take off from the top? What do I mean? Because if you're going to dig from the inside, so the part that was original covering the open space will no longer be there, and that floor wasn't put down for that purpose. Some say it doesn't make a difference. Anything that's on top of the hole, no matter how thick a layers of straw you have, it makes no difference. But others say we want you to keep the part that's on top of that hole, and you have to work around it otherwise. Moreover, let's say we're speaking about making that height higher. Obviously, you have to make it higher. What's going to be the halacha about if you want to make it wider? Obviously, a sukkah of Zion al Zion is very narrow. And so you'll go and you'll dig out that you should have a wider sukkah. What's going to be the halacha? Is that going to be fine? Or there's some that want to suggest that that would be a big problem. The problem would be that by making it wider, so the area over the wider part, that straw that's on top of the part which is now wider, wasn't put l'shem tzeil. Because originally, that wasn't the part that was covered, that was empty. And you're now going to have schach on that part that isn't kosher schach. And you'll have now a sukkah that the middle may be kosher, but the sides are not, which we're going to be discussing in our coming shiurim, but you would not be able to sit under that area. There are others that say that doesn't make a difference, that since you started with a proper size sukkah, the fact that afterwards you were wider in it, that doesn't disqualify the rest of the sukkah. So says Gemara Tanya Nami Hachi, we actually learned this thing in a brisa. Hachoytish begodish last lo sukkah. If you hollow out the haystack, hareiz a sukkah. It's considered a kosher sukkah. Ask the Gemara Vanantanan, haven't we learned in the Mishnah that in a sukkah, that it's not a kosher sukkah? El lav shmami no. How do we have to answer this contradiction? Rav Huna, with Rav Huna's explanation, that if you already have a hole, a tefach high by 7 tefachim, then you could just continue hollowing it out and making it higher. If not, you can't do so. But says the Gemara, Ikka d'rama le'mirma, that those that learned this Gemara, not as Rav Huna qualifying the halacha that we learned in the Mishnah, but they actually ask it as a stira. One place asked the Gemara, tonight we learned, Hachoyt b'shgadosh las lo sukkah, ein a sukkah. V'atanya, and the Gemara asks on that, but now there's another brice that says that if you hollow out the haystack, hareza sukkah, that you do have a kosher sukkah. So how do we reconcile this contradiction? On that, Amar Rav Huna responds, loy kasha. Kam b'sheshem chal tefach b'meshah shiva. If you start off with a hole that's a tefach by 7 tefachim, it's fine. Kam b'sheshem chal tefach b'meshah shiva, then it would not be acceptable. So the Achroinim try to understand, the Gemara just said this din of Rav Huna in two different ways. And the Achroinim tried to understand what is the nafgamina between the two versions. And they say the nafgamina is what we discussed before. If you're going to follow the first version, then you have to have the layer that was on top being the pop on top of the sukkah all along. According to the second version, it doesn't make a difference as long as you now have a kosher sukkah and you started with that, those dimensions that Rav Huna mentioned, it will be considered a valid sukkah. However, there's another issue. If you started with a very decent amount of schach on top of that hole, now the question is, as the Taz discusses, that it was quite common
that they used to put a lot of straw because they didn't want any rain or anything to penetrate through the straw. And Tosfos says that a rainproof sukkah is not kosher as a sukkah. So the Taz asks, how could this sukkah be a kosher sukkah? Even if we solve the problem of Tasav Leminosui, we have a airtight rainproof sukkah, which Tosfos in the beginning of Masechta said is not a kosher sukkah. So the Taz explains that the reason a rainproof sukkah is possible is because Chazal were concerned that if you have such a sturdy roof that it's rainproof, people are going to confuse such a sukkah with an ordinary house. Says the Taz, a haystack, nobody's going to confuse, even if it's rainproof, that it resembles a house. And therefore, the concern that a rainproof sukkah is a problem will not exist if you start with a haystack. The Eliyahu Rabbah actually disagrees. And Eliyahu Rabbah says that if your sukkah, this haystack sukkah that we're discussing, is so tight that that the rain cannot penetrate. Tosfos says that Eliyahu Rabbah at the beginning of Masechta says that any such sukkah is not a kosher sukkah, and it must be that our Gemara is talking about a case where you don't have such a tightly packed sukkah, and since you don't have such a tightly packed sukkah, your sukkah is going to be considered a kosher sukkah. But if your haystack is going to be that tightly packed, you'll have a new consideration because you can't use a rainproof sukkah. Says the Mishnah, so somebody has walls on a sukkah and he rolls down the walls to close to the floor, but they don't reach to the actual floor. So the halach is, if there's an airspace under the bottom of that piece of material, a wall that's 3 tefachim high, psula, the sukkah is possible. And there are two reasons why the sukkah is possible. Because many Rishonim are obviously of the question that we know, we've discussed many times, that there's in Shas, particularly Shabbos, Masechta Erevin, that there's a concept of good achis, if you start with a wall, it goes down. So here too, since we started, as we just described, with a wall, why, even though there's more than 3 tefachim, is it an invalid sukkah? So one pshat that the Rishonim suggest is that any wall that has the space of 3 tefachim is a wall that gedim boikim bo. It's large enough that small animals could creep through. And any place where small animals could creep through is not considered a wall as far as Hilchus Sukkah. Another pshat that the Rishonim suggest is, besides the problem that it's Gedim Baikamba, it's considered a Mechitza Teluya. Since the Mechitza doesn't go all the way down, so even though halachically we have a way of pulling down that wall, yes, halachically we have a way of pulling down the wall, but it doesn't change the reality that the halacha doesn't consider a mechitza teluya to be considered a valid mechitza, and therefore the Tanakhama says it's not a valid mechitza. But now we have the opposite situation, discusses the Mishnah. Mamata mamal, you have a wall of 10 tefachim from the floor going up, and then you have empty airspace. Mamatal mamala, says the Mishnah, im gevay asara tefachim, if you have a height of that sukkah of 10 tefachim, then ksheira. The sukkah is kosher, even though there's this space that doesn't reach the schach. And the Rishonim explain that, some Rishonim are saying, why is the sukkah a kosher sukkah? Because over here we say the concept of good asik, that we're starting with a wall, and the halacha takes that wall and raises it all the way up to the schach. But the Ran disagrees. And the Ran says, if we just said that we don't apply the concept of good achis, then we can't, where we pull down the wall, we can't apply the concept of good asik either way. And therefore, he says, there's a new factor to take into consideration. And that's the consideration of chavoit rami. It's not that we pull up the wall, which is good asik, Garachas, which we can't do. Rather, we have the edge of the schach, which we pull down to meet
the wall that's already standing there. That's called chavoit rami that we can do.
Rabbi Yosef Omer, shem shel mata mamala asar tefachim. As long as you have a wall that's 10 tefachim tall, that is good enough. Even though you're going to have a airspace between the top of the wall and the schach, kach mamala mata.
He holds that when you go in the other direction and there's space under the wall, even though it's more than 3 tefachim, Rabbi Yossi holds, explained to Rishonim, that we could apply the concept of good achas, and that brings your wall down all the way to the floor.
Ask the Gemara, so we had in Machlokes in our Mishnah, if you have a proper wall, but there's a big space on the bottom, is it considered a valid sukkah or not? Rabbi Tanakam says not. Rabbi Yossi says it is, and the Gemara wants to know by Mike Kamifki, what is the basis of the Machloikis? Says the Gemara, Masov, Rabbi Yossi is of the opinion, the Mechitza Tului Materis, that even though this Mechitza doesn't reach the floor, it's still considered a valid wall, because we say good achas, that's the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. Masov, whereas the Chamar of the opinion that Mechitza Tului and Materis, that this type of wall is not considered a valid wall for Hilchas Sukkah. And again, even though in other areas of Halacha we are going to rely on good achas, in Hilchas Sukkah we don't rely on good achas.
And I saw that Ritva explains that Sukkah requires mechitzas and ikaris. Sukkah requires that it should have walls. And what I think the Ritva means to say is that when we speak in Hilchas Shabbos, Masechta Shabbos, Masechta Erevin, the fundamental fact that we're looking for is this an enclosed area. So halachic principles could, like good achas and good asik, could create that this area is considered an enclosed area. Hilchas Sukkos is not just dependent on what is an enclosed area. Rather, Hilchas Sukkos is reliant on walls, because we need to have walls to have a kosher sukkah. And that's why here it wouldn't be considered kosher sukkah.
So Gemara discusses this concept of the Chitza Teluya. As we've discussed in our Masechta more than once already, which this is what we're going to mention now, is the fundamental discussion of Masechta Erevin, the first part of Masechta Erevin, that even though the Raisa, you're allowed to carry from one Rosh Hashanah Yochid to another Rosh Hashanah Yochid, Chazal were concerned that if you're going to be allowed to carry from one Rosh Hashanah Yochid to another Rosh Hashanah Yochid, you may come Chas V'Shalom to carry from Rosh Hashanah Yochid to Rosh Hashanah Rabbim or vice versa. And therefore Chazal said that the only way you could be able to carry from one Rosh Hashanah Yochid to another Rosh Hashanah Yochid, or the example that we're going to use for our current discussion, is two people have backyards next to each other. So under what circumstances may they carry from one backyard to another backyard? What you need to do is make a Aruvah Chatzeris. And by making a Aruvah Chatzeris, the two backyards become combined in the eyes of the halacha as one area. But to rely on a Aruvah Chatzeris, one of the most fundamental halachas is that you could only make a Aruvah Chatzeris when the two yards are accessible one to the other. But if the two yards are not accessible to each other, then a Aruvah Chatzeris is not an option. So our Gemara begins by discussing Bar Shemen Shnei Chatzeris. You have a water pit that runs through two Chatzeris that belong to two separate people. There's a wall separating these two Chatzeris. And the wall, as I just mentioned, is a wall that doesn't have opening between each of them. So since the wall doesn't have an opening between them, so to be able to just make an Aruvah Chatzeris, and that both members of both Chatzeris that are next to each other should both be able to take water out of the bar is not an option. So what the Mishnah there, Masechta Erevin, that Pei Vav Amud Aleph teaches us, so the people from the two Chatzeris cannot take water from that pit on Shabbos, because obviously the water from one side is traveling to the other side, it's water, and vice versa. So whoever is on either side of the wall is taking water from the other chatzer, and you can't take something from one chatzer to another chatzer on Shabbos. Unless, says the Mishnah there, Elm ken oslo mechitza sar tfachim. You have to make a mechitza, a new mechitza for the bar, which will separate the bar into two, and each side will be able to take from its side. And the halacha is, beimel malam, even if the bar is high up, even if this wall is high up above the water, beimel mata, whether it's next to the water in the bar, beimetach oignoi, or it's in the rim of the bar, it doesn't make a difference. As long as I make a new wall to divide the bar into two, that divides the bar into two. And what is the main principle in this Gemara? That even though this wall doesn't go down all the way, it doesn't have to go down all the way, because I apply the concept, as we keep on discussing in our shir, the concept of good achas. Shimon Gamaliel Eimer, that this question of what type of a wall can you make to be able to each side carry from its side of the bar to its chotzer, is a machlokes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai and Mamalo, even if you make the bar, the wall all the way up above the water, it's fine. And Beis Hillel, according to this version, Mamata, says you can make the water, you have to make the bar close to the water. It's interesting, a Tosfos, the Tap Tosfos on the Amud points out, so the way the Gemara reads, Beis Shammai is the more lenient opinion, and Beis Hillel is the more stringent opinion, which of course is not typical in Shas. And that's why Tosfos says that the Gemara in Masechta Erevin has a reverse girsa, where Beis Shammai is the machmer, and Beis Hillel is the mekel. Amar Yehuda, Leitei Mechitza Gedayla, Menekash Shemeneim. As we began this discussion, that there is a wall separating the two chatzeris. And since there's already a wall separating the two chatzeris, that's why they can't, as we said, make a river chatzeris, because this is a wall that doesn't have an opening between to access the two chatzeris, to give access to each chatzer to the other chatzer. But the Gemara says, Rabbi Babachana, that what says Rabbi Yehuda, that that wall should be no different than any wall. So if we already have that wall existing, and we already have that wall existing, that wall should be a perfect way of dividing the bar into two, that each side should be able to take out from the bar. And that says Rabbi Balchana on Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yehuda, that is so lenient, is Keshitus Rabbi Yossi Amra. He's following the same opinion as Rabbi Yossi in our Mishnah, that we learned in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi says, the Mechitza Taluya Materis. So just like Rabbi Yossi in our Mishnah was so reliant on a mechitza materis, so too is he reliant on the mechitza materis over there. Says the Gemara, v'loihi, it's not really a good comparison. Loi Rabbi Yehuda sava like Rabbi Yossi, v'loi Rabbi Yossi sava like Rabbi Yehuda. These two opinions, Rabbi Yossi in our Mishnah and Rabbi Yehuda in Masechta Erevin, do not travel together. Loi Rabbi Yehuda sava like Rabbi Yossi, Atkan Loi Rabbi Yehuda Hasam. The reason Rabbi Yehuda was lenient there, that he relies on the wall that's dividing the two chatzeris, El Baruv chatzeris, because the entire Isser to carry from one chatzer to another chatzer, as we said a moment ago, is only midrabbanan. Midaraisa, one may carry from one Rosh Hashanah to another Rosh Hashanah. It's the rabbanan who are machmer and said you may not carry from one Rosh Hashanah to another Rosh Hashanah, and unless you do something to correct that situation. So since the entire Isser is only an Isser Drabbanon, this type of wall will be sufficient. Aval Hocha, in our Masechta, where you're trying to construct a Sukkah Daraisa, for a Sukkah Daraisa, this would not be enough. On the other hand, says the Gemara, V'loi Rabbi Yossi Savalek Rabbi Yehuda, because at Kan Lekam Rabbi Yehuda Yossi Hocha El B'Sukkah, when we speak about Masechta the Sukkah, that even though, of course, sitting in the Sukkah is a mitzvah deraisa, but it's mitzvah sasei. What do you get for sitting? What is the obligation to sit in the Sukkah? There's a mitzvah sasei to sit in the Sukkah. Avo Shabbos. In Shabbos, yes. If you're going to carry from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, midaraisa, you haven't done anything wrong. But as we also said, if Chazal were concerned that if you're going to carry from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, you may chas v'shalom carry, end up carrying from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, or vice versa, and carrying in such a fashion is an issa deraisa, loy, there Rabbi Yossi would not be lenient on a wall that isn't really a full-fledged wall. And to rely on just a mechitza teluya would not be enough for Rabbi Yossi. Ask the Gemara, if we're going to say that Rabbi Yossi holds that a sukkah, the mechitza teluya, is never sufficient for Hilchos Shabbos, says the Gemara, There was a story in Tzipori that the Gemara is going to mention in a moment, and it seems that in Tzipori, where they relied on this type of a wall for Hilchos Shabbos, and Rabbi Yossi was the Rosh Yeshiva in Tzipori. So presumably, whatever they did in Tzipori, they were doing it based on Rabbi Yossi's psak. So isn't this a raya that Rabbi Yossi relied on this type of mechitza even in Hilchos Shabbos? Im Taimer Master Shnasa B'Tzipori Ampi Minasa Loya Ampi Rabbi Yossi, wasn't it based on Rabbi Yossi's opinion? It says the Gemara wasn't Rabbi Yossi. It was Ampi Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, who was Rabbi Yossi's son, was his successor, and he was the one that said you could rely on that type of wall. But it's not necessarily that his father held that way. So here we see, says the Bach, that if a Rav of a city was Machmer in a Shaila, and then another Rav comes along, there's a new Rav, the second Rav could be Mekel, even though the previous Rav was Machmer. But the Tumim says it's not a Raya. It could well be that once the Rav of a city was Machmer in a certain Shaila, his successor has no right to be Mekel. What happened over here was that Rabbi Yossi never cited an opinion regarding this type of a situation. So since Rabbi Yossi never spoke about the situation, so his successor, who happened to be his son, can't speak about such a situation. It's not considered that he's going against his predecessor. But had his predecessor explicitly said that it was Osir, it could be, says the Tumim, that a successor has no right to be Mekel. So says the Gemara, my Maisa, what is the story that we're talking about? Says the Gemara, the Chiyosir Rav Dimi Omar. Rav Dimi came and he once said there was the following situation. Pam Achas, Shachov Lehevi Sefer Torah Me'erev Shabbos. They forgot to bring all week long, they used to keep the Sefer Torah in the house, because the shul was considered an open public area, and they were concerned for the safety of the Sefer Torah. So they forgot one Friday afternoon to bring from the private home to the shul a Sefer Torah, Lamacha. So now they want to be able to carry to the shul on Shabbos. So what they did was, Parsu Sodinim Agabi Amudim, they pulled out pieces of material on poles that were there, and like that, you had a direct path, not open to anywhere else, between the house and the shul. And that's how Hiviyos Sefer Torah v'Karbo. So of course the question is, how could you carry from the house to the shul if you don't have an Eruv Chatzeris that were made from before Shabbos? So all the Rishonim explain that even though, as we just mentioned a few moments ago, the halacha is that you have to make an Eruv Chatzeris to be able to carry in a Chatzer, that's only an Eruv Chatzeris where people live. But a shul is not a place where people live. And the rule that Chazal said that you have to make an Eruv Chatzeris to carry from this house to that house is only from two houses where people live. Here, where we didn't have two people living, we did not have to make such an Eruv Chatzeris. And that's why as long as it was totally enclosed, they could carry from the house to the shul. So we see that even though they pulled this material, and this material did not reach the floor, it still was considered a valid mechitza. Ask the Gemara, Pirsus al-Kadatach, can you explain that they put up this mechitza on Shabbos? Mehechen avim b'Shabbos. And the Rishonim have two different ways of explaining this question. One way they explain is how could they bring the material that they're going to use to make the chatzar on Shabbos? How are they allowed to carry that material? Another version is that how could you make an oil on Shabbos if you pull out the material, so you're creating an oil. You're creating an enclosed area. And in Shabbos, even this won't be an oil kva, and it wouldn't be considered an issa deraisa, it would be an issa derabanan, I'm making an oil. So how could you do that on Shabbos just to be able to carry the Sefer Torah? Says the Gemara, Al Shematzu Sadin and Perusim Al Gabe Mudim. The way we need to understand this Gemara is that this enclosure where you had pieces of material on the poles were already there from before Shabbos. And since they were there from before Shabbos, so you weren't doing anything in Shabbos, they viewed Sefer Torah v'Karbo, and they relied on it to be able to carry in that area. So there's a number of questions that come up when we learn this Gemara. Here we say that the Gemara, we just learned two different pshatim, and what would have been the problem in making this enclosure on Shabbos. And the first pshat that we suggested is that you're not allowed to make an oil on Shabbos. And the Paiskim discuss, when the Aloch is that you're not allowed to make an oil on Shabbos, what does that mean? Does that mean only creating an oil arai is also on Shabbos? But if you're moisif al oil arai, where you already have an oil, an oil arai, and you just want to expand it, that is mutter, or it's not. And some Paiskim want to suggest, it matters what this oil arai accomplishes. And if this oil arai accomplishes that it will make something which was previously osur mutter, so that type of a wall is called a mechitza materis, and a mechitza materis may be made on Shabbos. But from our Gemara, it seems that if it would have been there from before, you would be allowed to spread it out, even though you're creating a mechitza materis. And that's why the Prima Godim discusses a situation that, let's say, somebody's schach falls down on Yontif, and he wants to fix his sukkah. The halach is that as long as you have some of the covering remaining, you could spread out the rest. So the best way to explain the shaila is, let's say somebody has a schach mat covering his sukkah, and now some of it fell in. As long as you still have some of the schach, a tefach of the schach covering the sukkah, you could fix it and roll it all out. Or another situation, which is easier because it's not a mechitza materis, is opening up your awning on Shabbos on your sukkah. So if it's already spread at least a tefach, you could continue. If it's not, then it's considered oil arai and you may not do it. But then they want to say that even if there's no problem of making an oil arai, but maybe a sukkah is considered a sukkah's more of an oil kva. An oil kva we're never allowed to make, but the Shmir Shabbos Kolchosoi says, quotes Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, who says that it would be mutter. We also now discussed a halacha that they moved the Sefer Torah from their homes to the shul on Shabbos. There's a very important halacha which is discussed in Or Chaim, Simen Kuf Lamed Hei Sif Yudalad. The Shulchan Aruch discusses the Bnei Adam HaChavushim Beis Asurim, people who are unfortunately in prison. Ein lekachslem sefer Torah, one may not transport a sefer Torah, kadesh yuchlu likras by kriyas Torah, in order that they should be able to read kriyas Torah, mishum kvoido yishol sefer Torah, because we're concerned about the covered sefer Torah. The Ramah, however, says then that if you prepare that place a day or two before, or there's a adam choshev that you're carrying the sefer Torah on his behalf, then it's mutter. The Chidah, however, disagrees strongly with the Ramah, and he says that even though he doesn't tell anybody who follows the opinion of the Ramah that they're wrong, he says he would never rely on that heter. And the Taz there in Sifkaten Yud Beis as well says he doesn't know from where does the Ramah take the heter of if it's prepared a day or two before it becomes mutter. And the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkaten Memtes, in fact, says there, it's not dependent on a day or two. It depends, do you have a makom choshev, do you have like an Aron Kodesh for your Sefer Torah, that you're showing that you're treating the Sefer Torah with great respect. But so one thing is certain, one may not just transport a Sefer Torah. And the question, and I saw that there are many Paiskim that discuss, sometimes in shuls, they have the main shul where they have the Aron Kodesh, and then they sometimes need to make another minyan in one of the side rooms, or they make another minyan in the Ezra's Noshim, and it's a day when we read from the Sefer Torah, Monday, Thursday, Shabbos, and they want to bring the Sefer Torah to that new minyan. And the Gra was very against that. And he would say that even if you're making a separate safe room for your minyan, for Kriyas HaTorah, everybody should come to the main shul and read from the Aron Kodesh on the Bima, and not Chas V'Shalom transport the Sefer Torah. And in fact, I saw that there's a, they say from the Divrei Chaim, that the shul in Sanz in Poland, in Galicia, was very cold in the winter. And they would not daven in the main shul on during the week because it was very expensive and very difficult to heat that room. And they would daven in one of the side rooms, but the Divrei Chaim was opposed that they should bring that Sefer Torah to, from the main shul to one of those side rooms where they were davening. And for Kriyas HaTorah, they would all go back to the main shul and read Kriyas HaTorah in the main shul, not to transport a Sefer, not to transport a Sefer Torah. And the Silmas Chaim from Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld, Zatzal, the Shalat Suva Silmas Chaim, and Simon Kuf Mevov, in fact, says that if you make such a minion in a different place, he discusses that the minion was made in Dezra Snoshim on a day where we have Kriyas HaTorah, says Rabbi Yosef Chaim, they should finish the entire davening, wherever they're davening, and then go back to the main shul for Kriyas HaTorah to be careful that the Sefer Torah should not be transported. And this halacha is also relevant if people, Rahman Slon, are sitting Shiva and they bring a Sefer Torah to the Shiva house. So my Rebbe, Rav Tovia Goldstein, said that this, that there's a minig that you have to read from a Sefer Torah at least three times. He doesn't know where in a place, if you bring it to, he doesn't know where the minig is stated. Although what we're discussing now, we could understand it because that shows more of a kviya Sefer Torah. But certainly the halacha is that if you're bringing a Sefer Torah to a home or to a place which is not the shul, it shouldn't just be left on a table. It should be treated with great respect. You should have it on Kodesh or a safe, showing the great respect that we have to show to Torah Kodesh. Amar Rav Chisda Avimi, Machtzelus Arba Umashahu. If you have a mat, which is four, a little more than four tefachim, Materes Besukkah Meshim Doifin, can be used as a wall of your sukkah. Ask the Gemara, Hechi Ovid, what exactly you do? Says the Maratolalei Be'emtza, you put it down, you put it up in the middle of the height of your walls. Pachs Mishloish Lamata, where you'll have less than three tefachim till the floor, and you'll have Pachs Mishloish Lamala, and you'll have less than three tefachim on top till the schach. And we know, the Kav Pachs Mishloisha, we've had this concept many times, the Kav Pachs Mishloisha, wherever you have less than three tefachim, then we say loved, and it's considered as if it's completely enclosed. Pshita, ask the Gemara, what's the Chiddush? Lovid is a halacha that's often stated in Shas, that if you have less than three tefachim, you can rely on Lovid. Answers the Gemara, Ma detei mechad Lovid avrinan. We only say Lovid once, but in the case that we just described, we're going to be saying Lovid twice on the top and the bottom. Trei Lovid lo yamrinan. We don't say Lovid twice. Kamashma, we could apply the concept of Lovid even twice. Meisrei, ask the Gemara, the Brisa says, Machtzelus Shiva Mashu, if you have a Machtzelus that's seven tefachim, Materes B'sukkah Meshim Doifin, you could be relied on a sukkah. And what it means to say is that you put it down in the one, you're going to put it up either on the top next to the schach or the bottom next to the wall, and you're going to be able to rely on Lovid. You see that here we only rely on Lovid on one direction, not twice. Answers the Gemara, Ki Tanya Hi, that Bryce is speaking about a sukkah which is more than 10 tefachim. So we can't put it right in the middle, because since you can't put it right in the middle, you don't have, because you're not going to have, you're going to have more than 3 tefachim, it's taller than 10 tefachim, it's taller than 10 tefachim, you're going to have more than 3 tefachim in each direction. On my Kamash Malon, so what is the Mishnah teaching us? That put it up, and you then could say that, you could say good asik, good achas, like Rabbi Yossi taught us. Or Rav Ami, pas arba mashu. If you have a tall, a board, which is as tall as your sukkah is. However, it's four tefachim and mashu, mata b'sukkah mishum doifin. It could be considered a good wall for your sukkah. Umaykum la, what is the case, says the Gemara, that we rely on? You put it, within three tefachim next to one of the existing walls. So you'll have the three tefachim of Lovid plus the four tefachim and a little more of the wall for a total of seven tefachim. And what are we learning here? What's this halacha teaching us? Says the Gemara, what's Rav Ami teaching us? My kamashmalon, that the sheer mesach sukkah ketana, that what is the minimum size of a sukkah that we learned earlier in the Masechta, Daf Gimel, that the size of a sukkah is kedei rosh yeruba v'shulchanoi. What is the chiddush that seven tefachim is the shear of rosh yeruba v'shulchanoi? And as I saw, the Mefarshim explained this Gemara. When is this required? Because as we discussed at the beginning of the Masechta, a sukkah has to have two full walls and a tefach. But when is that halacha stated? That halacha is stated if you have two walls that are like a L, at right angle. So the third wall, if it's a tefach, it's enough. But we also discussed that if you're going to have the two walls parallel to each other, then just putting up another wall that's a tefach would be inadequate. So what needs to be done? Put up the empty space with the board that's four tefachim. That will make it like you have a full-fledged wall of seven tefachim, and then you'll have a kosher sukkah, even when the two walls that you start off with are two parallel walls.